Hebrews chapter number 7, familiar passage, probably a little bit more familiar to some of you than others. This is the same passage I read out of when Mackenzie and Dad got saved, and Angie. So we'll try to read that this morning. The Lord's gave me a new thought on it, so we'll do that, and we'll read it. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness upon us. We ask you, God, to help us. Lord, help us as we preach this morning. And we ask you, God, you'd get every ounce of glory out of this place. Lord, we pray if there be one lost in here this morning, Lord, that they'd hear this simple message, God, and get saved. Lord, we pray you break hearts. Lord, we pray you'd show people where they stand with you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, God, by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I thank the Lord. You can be seated this morning. I thank the Lord for this, and we live in a day today, though, of confusion. I've been talking to a few people, and they're very, very confused about some things, especially concerning spiritual matter, and it seems that very few people understand the truth about God's way of saving the human soul. In fact, if you were to go and ask 12, if you were to go and ask a dozen people, you'd come up with a dozen different answers today on how God saves souls. For once, you ask the atheist, and the atheists say there is no God and there is no need to be saved. You ask the legalist, you ask the moralist, he says be a good person and you shall be saved. You ask somebody like the religionist and he says do what your church says to do and you shall be saved. You ask the legalist, he says keep this set of rules and obey your pastor and you shall be saved. That's just how the life goes. Ask a man by the name of Paul, and he would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You ask Jesus about it and he'll say, ye must be born again. There's so many different ways that people think about it nowadays, about what in the world is salvation. But this verse here tells us plain and it's simple and it's clear. And he tells us the truth about God's plan of salvation and what he has. And some of you are probably familiar with it, as I said. But it tells us how it works and what it is good for the sinner and for the saint. Amen. Yeah, man, it's good for the sinner because they're pulled out of hell. Yeah, man, y'all know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And then for the saint, it tells you that he maketh intercession for us. Yeah, man, thank God this morning. It sets the record straight and it teaches the truth that we must not miss at all. And I won't want nobody to miss it in here this morning. I'm going to be fast. I will be done before 12 o'clock unless the Lord says otherwise. But this verse teaches us that those who get truth about God's plan of salvation have this thing which are saved to the uttermost. To the uttermost. Thank God. I want to preach on the thought of a uttermost salvation this morning. Amen. That's my title this morning. I want you to understand this morning. I want all you kids to look up here for a second. I want you to understand this too, okay? This is what the word uttermost means. It means to the greatest extent. It means to perfectly, completely, and entirely saved. There is nothing, and also, I'll add this to it, Strong's Concordance didn't add this to it, but I want to. It means forever as well, thank God. But it means all of those things, and it means it, to the greatest extent. Means I was close to hell, but now I'm as far away from hell as I can possibly ever get. I am the greatest extent. I am perfect in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. I am completely saved by Jesus Christ. I am entirely my body. My body is not saved. My flesh is not saved. My flesh is still going to rot in a grave. But glory to God, I will have a new body someday. I will give a glorified body one day. But thank God, before I start, I want to ask you a simple question this morning. I'm going to ask a few times this morning. Are you saved to the uttermost? Amen, friend. Are you saved to the uttermost. Notice a few things. We see there in verse number 25 where we read, it says them in that verse, and it says that come in that verse. Notice it says simply, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come. That come. We see God's plan to save, number one. God's plan to save. Well, I tell you something, friend. It was a costly plan. It was a costly plan. It is a costly plan. That salvation plan was a costful plan. It cost a lot for that to happen. Y'all realize that, right? It costs a lot for y'all to have salvation this morning. And the book of Mark even tells us that. It says, in the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Give his life a ransom for many. Heaven's glory came to the earth in a form of a servant, as Philippians 2 and 5 through 8 tells us. He thought it not robbery to be like God, but he put on himself a form of a servant. He had to be like us so he could save us. Thank God, then he went to the cross and he paid the ransom price in his blood that sinners could be saved, thank God. Isaiah chapter 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Thank God this morning, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned our own master. We've turned this way. We've turned that way. But thank God, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, he went into the holiest of holies and made the sacrifice that was good. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching for a minute. Hey, friend, if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see the tabernacle. You'll see the temple. You'll see all those priests that would go in there one time a year. They could go into that holiest of holies one time of year. They went in there, and we read there in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. I got to turn over there for just a second. I'm still going to be done by 12. Y'all wait. Chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 11, but Christ become a high priest of good things to come. I gotta catch my breath. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer the self without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Friend, he says, they're simply saying this. They're simply saying, hey, long time ago, they would go into that place. There was a lamb that would go into that place. There was a turtle doves that would go into that place. There was an ephah flower that would go into that place. There was bulls that would go in this place. Heifers that would go into this place. And blood, millions and millions of lambs were slaughtered for those people in those days, just to cover their sins, not to take away their sins. But one came, better blood was coming, better blood was coming. It wasn't by the blood of lamb, it wasn't by the blood of a calf, by the blood of a heifer, but better blood was coming. And behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, that was fulfilling the fact that the lamb and the better blood had come. And thank God, it was not covering sins, but it was taking away sins. It cast them as far as the east is from the west, the depths of the sea. It's gone because the better blood came, thank God. Hallelujah. It was his plan to do that, but it was a costly plan, friend. It was a costly plan. I understand something, that would, if I would have woke up and steal that baby right here, and I would have take off that baby, I could send her a note and say, if you'll give me $1,000, you can have this baby back. And you know what she'd probably do? Well, if they couldn't find me first and kill me, they'd probably get the baby and pay that $1,000. Is that right? Do you know what that's called? A ransom. what Jesus done is he come here unfitly. We were stolen and deceived by the devil. But he came here and paid the ransom by his life and his blood so that we could have eternal life. He paid the price. Thank God. It's a costly one. You know what else it is? It is a completed plan. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says after he took the vinegar and all this kind of stuff, after he'd done all that, the Bible says he looked up at heaven, said, "It is finished." It is finished. This plan devised by God, let me just tell you something. It needs no revision. It needs nothing changed to it. It does not have to be updated like software or like wardrobe or like your vehicle. It does not need any of that, friend. It will never have to be revised, redone, or repaired because there's one thing about it. It is complete and it is finished forever, thank God. And there is nothing that needs to be changed about it. It's perfect and it's complete and entire, and it will bring salvation to all of those who receive it by faith. Every person in here, if you're lost this morning, you can receive salvation by faith. Call upon the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I could name every one of y'all in here at this exact moment and you'd fit in that whosoever. Thank God. Amen. This was a very simple plan, friend. So simple, in fact, that many people stumble right over it. Trying to look for this and look for that. It's a simple in believing and trusting on the name of Jesus Christ. That's as simple as it is, friend. I mean, it can't get no simpler than that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in that heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen, friend. Thank God for that. Amen. I was in that whosoever. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 47, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Simple, ain't it? I mean, simple as it comes, thank God. The work is completed, friend. Thank God. It's completed. It's a costly plan. It's a completed plan. But it's also a controversial plan. Now understand this. The Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why is it so controversial? Well, it's controversial because it's a very narrow path. It's a very narrow path. It's a very narrow plan. In fact, it's so narrow that God only knows one way for sinners to get to heaven. Amen, friend. There's only one way that there is, and that is through the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It says, there is no name given under heaven whereby you must be saved, but by the name of Jesus, that is. No name, no other name besides Jesus. Thank God for the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Though, you know, there's no plan B. Thank you. There's no plan B. No plan B at all. There's no alternative. There's nothing else for those who believe differently. There is one plan for all men to get into this throne of God. One plan for all men to get to heaven. There is no other plan. And if you'll go through that plan, you'll make it. Amen. That one way. If you'll go through that way, you'll make it. God does not care how good you may be. God does not care anything. Salvation is not gained by works. Amen. It's not your works. It is the gift of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Y'all realize that, right? Amen. Given. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. He give it to you. I mean, if I were to walk over to JD and give him this right here, you can have that. But until the end of the service, I'm getting it back. It's a gift for a short period of time. But what Jesus done is he just gave it and never has taken it back. He's given us the opportunity until he comes back. But one day, he's going to split the eastern sky and it'll be too late then. It'll be too late then, friend. God is not impressed by your sincerity. There's a lot of good people in hell today. A lot of good people in hell today. Salvation has not come to those who mean well. God doesn't care if you're black, white, red, yellow, brown, whatever you want to say, tan, beige. I do not care. He does not care if you're Muslim, if you're Hindu, if you're Baptist, if you're Mormon, if you're Catholic. He only knows one plan for salvation, and His precious Son is that. Amen. Are you saved to the uttermost this morning? Yeah, man, number two this morning. I'm still going to get done. I'm dependent on this. God is the great God. And I thank God for that this morning. We see, firstly, God's plan to save. Secondly, this morning it says in verse 7, verse 25, it says, He is able. He had a plan to save. Now He's got a power to save. See God's power to save? Let me notice this. You know that God can call anybody and whosoever He calls. If they come by Him, the Spirit draws them. If they do that, John 6 and chapter 44 tells us that. I mean, I wasn't going to turn over there, but I thought I could quote it, but I couldn't. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. So there's this power, right? There's this power, and He has the power to call you. Call you, thank God. He has the power to reach into the darkness of the human soul and show the sinner his need of a big God. Amen. Amen. I mean, you see, people don't just wake up one day and decide to get saved. It ain't gonna happen. You don't just decide to get saved. Salvation is a result of God's power being imputed and being applied to your life. On your behalf, though. You know, before the foundation of the world, He provided a Savior. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Before the foundation of the world, He provided a Savior. He sent His Spirit to this work to do this thing called conviction. He sent His Spirit, John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11, tell you all that. But He loved you when you were unlovable. Amen. Amen. In that. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Yeah, man, like He did with Lazarus. John chapter number 11, verse 43, verse 44, like He did all that. He has the power to come to you in the tomb of your sin. Thank God. That's good stuff right there. And cry, come forth. And I promise you, when He calls you, you coming. When He does, you'll come to Him, and that's the kind of power that redeems sinners. Amen. Have you experienced this power? Thank God I have. He has the power to cleanse you. He has the power to cleanse you, thank God. First John in chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in light as He is light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God. When God's plan is received, His power moves in the heart and does a cleansing work whereby every stain and every blemish of sin is dismissed. Amen. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. Forever removed from your life. Don't get crazy on me. Forever removed from your life. Everything you ever done from the sight of salvation before, and get this, and after. We got to be careful. But He did cover it. He did take it away. He did do that. But we cannot turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. We cannot give it the right to sin either. Because it's not. But it is a brand new birth. And you get a fresh start on things. Hallelujah. Yesterday, with all of its pain, its failures, its sins, its shortcomings, it's gone forever. Having been washed whiter than snow in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Have you experienced that? Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. Thank God, friend. That's a good God for you, friend. That's a good God for me. And it's a good God if you're a sinner in here. He's still good enough for you too, thank God. There is a God in heaven that will cleanse you from all your sins. Have you been cleansed this morning? He has the power to cleanse you. He has the power to call you. He has the power to change you. Now the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Amen. Have become new is what it actually says. Thus far, we've talked about God's power as it worked in the past and as it works in the hidden recesses of our heart, as God deals with us specifically. But His power also manifests itself inside a person's life. Amen. Y'all should know that. You see, you cannot enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and remain the same. Hey, I heard it before. A lot of them claim the name but remain the same. It ain't going to do you no good. The work God done on Calvary, the work that Jesus done on Calvary, friend, it's going to make you change. Amen. It's just going to make you sane. You cannot enter into that relationship. Just ask. You can ask so many people. Ask the blind man, John chapter 9. Ask him if he remained the same. Ask the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. I think it is. John chapter 8. Ask her. Ask Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, y'all heard him? Ask him if he remained the same. Ask those lepers that Jesus come in with. And see, ask if they made, did they remain the same? Because last time I checked, when Jesus touched them, things changed. He didn't change, but they changed, thank God. Amen. Ask his disciples and see if they didn't change. Why don't you just go over there and ask the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. Friend, when she touched that robe of his garment, she changed. Their faith had made her whole, thank God. Friend, you can ask Mary Magdalene. Man, we could go through all of them. They all changed, friend, because when Jesus gets in, things change. Amen. Amen. Ask any of the millions who met him over the ages. They'll testify to the fact of his changing power. I tell you, friend, if you can't testify in the changing power of Christ, you ain't never been saved. Right. Amen. Let me just say this. There's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Friend, are you saved to the uttermost? Have you been saved this morning? We see God's plan to save, God's power to save, and lastly, I got 5 minutes, God's promise to save. The Bible says to save. Two words in verse 25. It says to save. Wherefore, he's able also to save them. Yes. To save them. Thank God. Friend, there was a plan of power, but thank God there's a promise. And we see the promise of the world is this. Save. He came to this world to do what? Seek and save those which are lost. Friend, that's what he came to do. This word means to save, to keep safe, to keep sound, to rescue from danger and destruction. It gives the picture of a fireman going inside a house that's on fire and pulling the ones out. He saved us from destruction, thank God. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. This is what Jesus does when he saves the soul. Well, he saves you from the deadness of your sins. Ye who are dead in your trespasses and sin, hath he quickened, made alive. Thank God he saved you from that. Thank God when we look at it, he saved you from the wrath of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, the verse right after, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The last four words of that verse of chapter 9, of chapter 5, of the book of Romans, it tells us there's a wrath to come. He saved us from the wrath to come. He saved us from the torments of hell. Friend, when you get to hell, if you're lost in here this morning, when you get there, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That is hell. And God saved us from the torments of that place.
Hallelujah. We don't have to be thirsty. We don't have to be thoughtful of our family. We don't have to do any of that anymore. We'll be in a glorious place, a celestial city where the streets are golden, the walls are jasper, where the God is golden, the great things that God has done, where the God of heaven is seated on His throne, and we're at His feet. That's where I'll be. The mansions are real big. The rivers are flowing with milk and honey. Thank God that's where I'll be. I won't be in the place where the worm is bigger than I am. Amen. I told y'all about that, didn't I? Them scientists went down deep to the ocean. Said they got to the bottom and they seen worms that were bigger than they were. I don't know if hell's rising, but friend, hell is rising. Hell's growing every day. It says it enlarges itself every day. Amen, friend. I tell you something. God saved us from the wrath of God. Jesus saved us from the wrath of God. He saved us from the tragedy of a wasted life. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, it'll tell you all about a wasted life. The Bible says in verse 19, chapter 16, it says he wasted his substance on righteous living. Amen. When God saves a soul, He does it right. They're safe, they're sound, they're delivered, they're saved to bless His holy name this morning. I'm glad about that this morning. But He also, the promise in the Word is what we've seen there, save, save, save. Then we see the promise in His work in 1 John and chapter number 2 and verse number 2. Let me read that verse real quick. The Bible says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world. We see the promise in His work. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. He does go in for us. Friend, you didn't have to do a thing. That is, He stands in heaven for us always. And the word literally means to fall in with. That's what the word intercessor means. And in this picture, it is the perfect picture of one who comes alongside another to help him in times of distress and in times of trial and in times of torment. And Jesus is our man in heaven today. Thank God. He's our middleman. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. Whatever you want to call it. He accompanies His place at the right hand of the Father. That's what He does. This should not be to take to mean that Jesus is continually praying for us or continually offering His blood for us because He died one time. He don't have to do it again. Amen, friend. His presence in heaven is our prayer and it's our answer too. How about that? The blood was applied once and for all and never needs to be repeated again. His presence in heaven assures us a place in heaven as well. Amen. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, the promise in His will. Reading John and chapter number 6 there. There's a lot of goody in that chapter. John and chapter number 6 and verse 37, the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I am came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the will of the Father. That's the will of the Father. The Bible tells us that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him by God. That come unto God by Him. And remember that word uttermost. Remember what I told you it meant? It means to the greatest extent, completely, perfectly, utterly. I mean, we could go on and on and on. It means that forever, entirely. I mean, that's what that word is simply meaning there, and it gives the image of eternal salvation. Jesus Himself told us there in the verses that we read that, you know, it's the will of the Father to get us home. It's the will of the Father. What I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that if you are truly saved, then you are truly saved to the uttermost. Amen. Nobody ever going to take it from you. I don't understand how people believe in that stuff anyways. Free will Baptist, you know, here's the whole thing, is that if you believe in that kind of stuff, then what is Jesus talking about when He said what's been in the Father's hand will never be pulled out of the Father's hand? Right? I don't understand. What if it's in the Father's hand, who in the world is going to open the Father's hand and pull me out of it? Right? And I said, like I said Wednesday night, I said, I can't lose something I ain't keeping. And I know that's country, but that's just a simple fact, friend, is that if I was not keeping my truck, I could never lose it. If I was getting rid of it, I could never lose it. But thank God I ain't getting rid of my salvation, and I ain't keeping it either. He's keeping it for me. Hallelujah. Hey, man, what I'm just saying, you're heaven bound and with a hammer down, horns going toot, we're going to scoot, nothing going to stop you. It does not matter. All I'm saying is here, we find a lot of faults with Baptists today. A lot of people find many faults with Baptists when we talk about eternal security. When we talk about eternal security, and we use it, a lot of people would use it as a license to commit sin. A lot of people call us legalists. A lot of people call us that kind of stuff. But here's the thing, friends. It ought not ever be for somebody to have the license to commit sin. Amen. I preached a little while back on the slave. I know I'm already over, so I might as well just go. The slave to sin. Everybody remember that? Sorry, it was slaves, but to which master? I took that back. Because I started thinking, and I started starting to think about some things, listening to my other preachers, stuff like that. And when the word slave comes about, slave and servant has nothing to do with each other. Even though the Strong's Concordance does reference that word servant to slave. It does. Here's the difference. A slave is forced to work. A servant willingly works. Amen, friend. And so what I'm getting at here is that we are a servant to our Heavenly Master. We are a servant to God. We are that kind of person. But friend, when it comes to sinning, we are a servant to Him. And it don't give us a license, a legalism. It doesn't give us any way to sin because we will still be judged for it. We will still be held accountable for our things. James chapter 5 tells us all about, we'll be held accountable. I understand we ain't got to, but understand that the wages of sin is what? We ain't got to pay for that anymore. Amen. He covered that. But we are going to have to be accountable for our sins. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Wood, hay, stubble, precious stones, gold, silver. We're going to be judged one day at the judgment seat. All I'm saying, friend, is that when we are saved, we are to make an international break with the world and all of its allurements, everything. A so-called Christian who walks in sin and claims an eternal relationship with Jesus is a liar. Amen. They're a liar. All I'm saying, friend, is that thank God I'm saved to the uttermost. Let's get somebody up here to play. Stand to your feet. I want to ask you this morning, I'll make it simple. Are you saved to the uttermost? Are you saved? Are you saved? I'm not pointing no fingers in here, but are you saved? What's the conclusion of this whole matter? Well, God's plan of salvation has the power to save to the uttermost everyone who comes to Him through Jesus Christ. And you see that the whole point of this portion of Hebrews here, the whole point of this whole thing I kind of hit on earlier, is to show how the Lord Jesus, as our great high priest, is absolute superior to the Old Testament priesthood and the things that they've done in that. Superior. Far better than Jesus. The Old Testament priesthood was only a temporary priesthood. A man could only serve until he died. Jesus had already gone through death and He will never die again. Amen. The Old Testament priest could save no one. Our text verse told us that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. And He has power that no earthly priest can ever have. He possesses the power to give life. Amen. The Old Testament priest was never finished with his work. Jesus finished His work on the cross and sat down on the right hand of the Father. Amen, friend. The Old Testament priest could only enter the presence of God once per year. And then only with the blood of a sacrificed lamb could he enter in with. Here's the thing. Jesus continually abides in the right hand of the Father. In the presence of the Father. As a representation, as a representative of the redeemed. Amen, friend. These altars are open. Oh, that's true. But I ask you this morning, are you saved to the uttermost? Do you have assurance that all is well within your soul today? Is there a need? If there is, there's a high priest by the name of Jesus Christ who can and will meet the need right now. Amen. And that's what you call uttermost salvation.